Only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruz. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. In the studio today, I have Jen Uhas.
Good morning.
The very exceptional hostess at times on the show. So appreciate you. How you doing?
Dandy. Thanks for inviting me. Every once in a while, I get to take an early lunch break from 11 to noon instead of noon to 1, and I enjoy our conversations.
Guess what?
What?
In about 20 days, you're going to be shooting birds.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're getting there. So what is your favorite grouse to cook? Fairbanks, I've had her give exceptional detail of her cooking prowess when it comes to game.
Well, I do like the sharp tail better than the spruce hens, but when we're getting into winter and people say, you know, they've been into the needles and they've kind of got that sprucey flavor, you can't go wrong doing a rosemary dish.
No. Very good way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It hides the accent.
And it kind of it hides it. But it isn't just like perfumey masking. It kind of goes with it so that, you know, like if you like the spruce tip jelly or you like the spruce tip beers and things that have a little bit of that little tang to it.
Yeah, a Cabernet reduction sauce with
Ooh.
That.
But I love to do that with mushrooms and shallots, kind of in a gravy.
Yeah. You are exciting Fairbanks right before lunch. You're on your lunch hour.
Yeah.
So, granite construction.
Yeah.
Or granite.
Alaska granite. So, we're getting close to the 1 year on our house rebuild after the fire. Don't recommend it, but we will end up with a better product. But we went over there to see the local granite guy rather than getting our countertops from one of the box stores, which is fine. But, you know, we've got a small place and he does some remnants and I tell you, I walked in over there. It's over off Van Horn, Alaska Granite, and the owner is Alec Turner, and he really knows his stuff. But I was so happy when we first walked in, right? Because we both love dogs. First of all, he's got a yellow lab for a greeter, so can't go wrong with
official
that.
Official meter and greeter.
Yeah, official meter and greeter. You know, just kind of sauntered up and walked in with us. We're like, do you live here? Are you supposed to be in here? We're like, hey, we let this dog in. He's like, oh, no, she's the greeter.
Yeah, she's majority owner.
Yeah. And I noticed right away he's got a wolf hide and a wolverine hide hanging up. I'm like, all right, maybe the guy's a trapper, probably an all right guy. And he had this really neat stuff in his showroom. Yeah, you know those double layer countertops where like one side is kitchen height and the other side's like serving bar height?
Yeah. Well, about 6 inches higher.
Yeah, 6'8". Yeah. Maybe even 10. But so first thing I noticed is you can see through the levels, and he had done this thing where he had a polished granite lower and a polished granite upper, but what was holding the upper up was different shaped rocks, real rocks, like the size of a bowling ball. And it's like, it looked like Fred Flintstone. It was like super cool. Yeah.
That's why it's a granite company.
I know. So,
interior granite.
Alaska granite.
I know, but okay. Interior.
Yeah. Yeah. We went over there. He's going to get us taken care of and, trust him. It's going to be really cool. But he also pointed to the big rock pizza oven behind him. And, we asked if he made that. It was pretty cool. He said, no, there used to be a guy in town who was doing them all. Like maybe about 10 years ago when fuel prices were real high and people were putting these in, you got the lower for your fireplace and you can make a pizza in the top part and it heats up all the stone and keeps your house warm. He said the guy retired. So you know, nobody's doing it right now, and he gets asked a lot about it. So if there's somebody out there listening who's got masonry experience, there's a gap in
town. Wants a side gig, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, Alec over Alaska Granite, go talk to him because he's getting requests constantly, and there's nobody doing that in town. So I thought we should bring that up on the air. Somebody might be laying brick, doing something right now, and thinking.
So if you're interested in doing it, go see Alec.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you, especially if you got any experience doing those, you know, those fireplaces that turn into a you know, it heats up the whole wall, mm-hmm. heats up your house, kind of radiant heat, yeah.
Or an outdoor one.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but apparently there's a gap in town. Nobody's doing it. Mm. The built-in fireplace guy retired finally.
We're going into a third special session. I had Senator Cronk on yesterday.
I missed it. I need to go listen.
Yeah. He is not thinking positive of any conclusive out, you know, event on this. Well, what do you think?
So it's appropriate too that it's the third one, and you know, in chess we'd call that a threefold repetition. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not really at zugzwang yet. It's not checkmate. It's not perpetual check. It's just chasing each other around the board, and. You know, I don't know that I've got a lot of hopes either. And, you know, what happens, you know, it was back in April that President Trump put out that executive order 14156 saying how important our gas line is. You know, are we going to get it together and do anything, or is this thing going to be federalized and we get nothing? I don't know.
They can federalize it.
They can. They can just, as an emergency, they can take it over.
Yeah.
If we're not going to do it,
they can do it.
It's, you know, are we going to have fun?
Well, yeah. Now think about how much of that is on federal property.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, apparently it can be commandeered anyway.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you think President Trump needs to give Kathy Geisel a call?
I don't know who he needs to call, but you know, somebody said we'll have
the BSer
fun
BS
fun.
Bill.
Oh, Bill, till our daddy takes our pipeline away.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh.
We've been on here several times just talking about how the interior needs jobs,
mm-hmm.
quality of life, cheaper energy, and we got to figure something out.
True. And Anchorage is in dire need of natural gas.
Yep, the gas reserves are
away. The gentleman from NSTAR, it's critical.
So where's it going to come from? I mean, we have it
import.
Right here. Why do we need to import it when it's right here? Your phone dinging.
It's one of your buddies, Al.
Oh, well, just call in, Al. You call in
all
the time.
Yeah, Al, come on. Call in. Yeah. Don't hide behind
call,
your text.
Call.
Oh, yeah. The first thing he said is he references ketchup. It hides the taste of the spruce.
Ketchup?
Hey, Al's a simple person.
Uh-huh. Al
but he makes great kimchi.
Apparently he does. I can't do the spicy stuff.
I wouldn't call it spicy. I would call it zesty.
Zesty?
Zesty. Tasty zest, yeah.
Well,
great texture, too.
Since he's not calling in, we can just talk about him, right? And like, I don't
until
know
he calls in.
I don't know if Al's got taste buds left. He puts hot sauce
He doesn't have any taste.
Every time I see him at Laundry House Gang, he's putting hot sauce on whatever he's eating.
Oh, God.
And I guess he makes some of his own hot sauce along with the kimchi, but Al ought to call in because the Board of Game is going to be meeting in Fairbanks this week.
Yeah.
And he's on the Board of Game.
Yeah. And he could give us an update on what they're looking at.
Yeah. I know you're like close to the quarter of the hour, so I didn't want to go into a new subject or something.
No, we can wait for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
What the heck?
You know, so with the Board of Game coming to town, my friend Carrie Ann Mueller is our lady representative on the Board of Game.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be coming into town today. So tonight from 5 to 7, there's a meetup for Women Hunting and Fishing Alaska. We'll be at the Lat 65 Brewery. Any skill level, any interest level, whether you're an expert huntress or you've just always wanted to and never gone out, come join us and talk to some other ladies who want to encourage you to get out and go hunting.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. And during the commercial break, I'm going to call Al.
Do it.
And see if Al has the
inside scoop.
Presence to pick up the phone and
come
be
on,
brave.
Al.
Come on, Al. We'll be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
After my wife died, I lost myself too. I didn't feel like doing anything or seeing anyone. Then my granddaughter called to say she misses me, and I realized I had to make a change. That's when I made the call. I got referred to a psychiatrist, and she explained depression can happen to anyone. I'm learning that getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. Mental health care works when you make the call.
See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Ashley Lodes of Port Charlotte, Florida. You reeled in a 143.8-pound halibut aboard the Nunatak, and your dad, Daniel, reeled in a 138.6-pound halibut. He lives in Willow, and I imagine he's fished before your very first halibut, but I want to know, what were you doing and where were you to catch two such nice fish out on this charter?
So, where were we? I have no idea where we were.
Your dad saying Helen's Reef?
Helen's Reef. And it was like 5 in the morning. Dad caught the first fish, and they said challenge accepted, and I caught the second one.
Once he caught that big one, was he thinking he might win the Derby prize?
He was thinking he would win the biggest fish on the boat, for sure. We weren't really honestly fishing to win the Derby. We were fishing to kind of beat each other because we're a competitive fishing family. So it was more like who was going to catch the biggest fish on the boat.
And you inched him out by not that much, but it's a big win nonetheless.
Yes, he had the longer fish, but I had the fatter fish, and that's what mattered.
Yes.
If you're looking to catch a big halibut, silver salmon, or rockfish in Valdez, get geared up at the Prospector in Valdez. Need boots or rain gear? Prospector's got it. Our Valdez store has rods, reels, tackle, bait, and even coolers to bring your catch home too. Talk to our local experts and get the right gear for Prince William Sound. The Prospector's open late all summer.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today with a chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 70, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance for scattered rain showers will dip down to about 49. High of 68 tomorrow, chance for scattered showers. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Jen Uhas in the studio with me here. Al was a no answer on his...
He's hiding from you?
He is avoiding me.
Well, you know, I would say he might be up to his elbows in meat or fish over at Virgil's, but if he's texting you, then that's not an excuse.
That is correct.
I mean, I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt there, but if he's texting, he can't be up to his elbows in goo.
Yeah, you know, we are in the beginning of the golden days.
Yes.
So have you looked at the clues for finding the golden poke?
You know what? I haven't done that this year.
I did yesterday. I haven't looked at today's, so.
Should we look it up while you're talking?
Go ahead.
Okay,
I'll
look it up. And you can explain to, if people haven't done this, you can explain what it is while I look it up.
During the Golden Days week, starting Monday at 8 a.m. on every subsequent day until the poke of gold is found, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gives out clues. And yesterday was ominous about one of the miners, Felix Pedro, how he came from the shores of Italy to Fairbanks. So my thought was, okay, they put the gold, poke of gold near the Barnett Street Bridge where Fairbanks was founded on the shore there.
Okay.
My first thought. Do you have today's clue up yet?
The phone's going very slow here. So they're putting these on YouTube, too. So there's clue number one, clue number two.
Go for clue number two.
Well, okay. But I don't want to watch the YouTube thing because people can't see it on the air. I'm
True.
Trying to go to the Chamber of Commerce website here. And if folks are going to the Chamber luncheon today, it's not over at 8 Star where it usually is. It's going to be over at the Salmon Bake. So don't go to the wrong spot today if you're going to go. Okay, so they're actually making you watch the video.
I know. Go ahead and put the video up to the mic.
Okay.
Here you go, Fairbanks. Here's clue number two.
Yeah, as soon as it loads. I don't know.
Music for...
Gold time. Hi, this is Wyatt with Black Gold. Here's your clue for the day. The city center comes alive, community and businesses ready to thrive. You've searched the heart, now venture out. The poke awaits just a little way out.
So it's outside the center of town?
Mm-hmm.
What was the first one here? Clue number one, clue number two. I don't know. So some years it's been found the first day.
And Eric Gibson, if you're listening, you find that poke of gold, we're going to hurt you. We're going to hurt you. He found it a few days ago. And now, but the question is which Aaron Gibson found it? Was it the male Aaron Gibson or his wife, Aaron?
Oh, they're
Gibson?
Both Aarons?
Yeah, she goes by E-R-I-N.
Okay.
He goes by A-A-R-O-N.
Fitting.
He was on the city council with me for a few years. Great guy. Great guy. He's one of those IT tech geeks.
Gotcha.
But has a personality.
But has a personality. You know, when I think of golden days, though, I was looking at the photos that Chamber had put up, you know, in the Facebook feed, and there was good old Roger Burgraff, no finer miner. You know, I think of golden days and I think of him because, you know, that guy has just been such a staple in town. You know, he's always at these, he's got this booth with, you know, all these gold nuggets and people are like, you know, don't let those walk off. But, you know, he's sticking them in little kids' hands, you know, oh, no, they can touch it. Oh, no, they can hold it. And he says, you know, he does it because he wants to get little kids excited and maybe they'll want to go mining one day. And it's just, he has a heart of gold. And you know, they had this picture of him holding up these giant gold nuggets. And I immediately thought of the first time I met him sitting in a booth with all these gold nuggets on this table.
Mike Rowe is going to be in town on Friday.
That's right. Yeah. There's a invite-only thing happening.
They called up about getting him on my show, but he just doesn't have enough time now. So
could he pre-record?
He doesn't even have time to do that.
Okay.
I mean, his plane arrives at 11:30 and he's gone at 5.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
so.
And they called me to see if they could figure it out, and they couldn't figure it out. So.
Darn.
Yeah.
So Friday, everybody will be getting their floats ready for the parade on Saturday.
Are you in the parade?
I heard Bob the Builder is going to be in the parade.
That's not my question. Are you in the parade?
No.
Why not?
Because I was otherwise committed this year.
Oh. You're being evasive.
I have some family obligations.
Okay.
And it was pre-committed.
I like this. I'm admiring the professional evasiveness of family obligations.
Swoosh, swoosh.
How's the home construction going?
So, you know, we need to be in by the burn date on the 23rd, but I was real excited to go see the Alaska Granite guy. Most of our cabinets are here. Our appliances should get here, according to the Lowe's website.
That's
kind of, you know, we kept getting that update, you know, please come pick up your order. And it's like, all it is the hose for the refrigerator. Can we wait till the refrigerator gets there?
You know, I still remember last August when you called me up and you said, are you and Emily available just to meet me at Bobby's? I've been cleaning up this fire, you know, yada yada yada, and we met you on these, you know, you've been.
It was grueling. You know, it happened right before my other half started flying hunters, and I still wasn't healed from my ATV rollover. So
I know you're
one, fun, one of my coworkers said, "Oh, I hope you had a good relaxing 2 weeks off." I said, no. I walked up and down burnt stairs for two straight weeks, like 12-hour days hauling my stuff out. It wasn't relaxing.
I've been an admirer of your perseverance throughout the last couple of years. You know, the foot, the severe break, and then this. You know, so I'm knocking on wood for you.
And for Micah.
Yeah, okay, I'm knocking wood. On wood. Yeah. So
things just, there's nowhere to go but up, David.
Well, true. Where are you looking at going hunting this year?
It'll depend. You know, I'm just after the ATV rollover and having, you know, really, it's taken a while to, I'm not in shape right now. So, you know, birds.
You know how you get in shape? You go do it.
I know. So once we get this place built, but I am planning, funny that you mention it. So my friend Jason Lapardus lives in Kentucky, mm-hmm. And has been involved in Congressional Sportsmen's Foundation things for a long time. He was the executive director for Union Sportsmen's Alliance when I met him, and now he's the head of the National Wild Turkey Federation. Wants to come to Alaska.
Okay.
So we talked to Delaine Johnson down in Palmer, and you know we have feral turkeys down there. We had some turkeys got
down
loose.
Down in Palmer?
A bunch of them. And they're listed in the game regulations as, you know.
Feral turkeys.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just, so Jason's going to come up and we're going to go down to Palmer and meet up with Delana and go hunt some feral
turkeys.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. But he is, is America 250 and he's head of the Turkey Federation and wants to come to Alaska in general. It's like, you know, we could do some turkey hunting.
So basically, he's going after the northernmost turkeys in the United States.
Yes, they should be. Yeah.
I would classify them as that.
I'm glad you said United States because like, I don't know. They're not endangered.
I know, but yeah.
I don't know if Canada's got any.
A special species.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So we had on the Kenai several years ago, some pigs got out. This was in the 90s, early 90s. Some farmers' pigs got out, and they were trying to round them all up, but they survived, and but they did apparently get all the pigs.
Okay.
But, yeah, there's turkeys running around Palmer.
It was about, goodness gracious, about 10, 11 years ago. I went out to this friend of mine. He had a Christmas Eve party out at about 13 Mile Chino Hot Springs Road. So I'm driving back, and you could see the state troopers with these big lights on. There was an accident on the road. It's about 11 o'clock at night. And so, you know, I'm coming west, you know, coming back into town. And on the oncoming lane as I'm going by, you know, about 8 miles an hour, I see this lady running alongside this 350-pound pig.
What?
That's on a leash.
On a leash? Yeah. She's taking her hog for a jog.
Yeah, or it got out. And I'm with about two people in this car, and we're looking at this, and the first thing I think is, are we on drugs?
You know? Were you?
No. Okay. So the next morning, I get up and I call people. Did that really happen? We're going, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Did that really happen?
Is a new exercise? You haven't heard the new exercise trend? Jog with a hog?
Apparently not.
Who needs a treadmill? You can jog with a hog.
Oh, man, but it was so funny. So they escape.
Yeah, so, you know, we've repopulated the grouse up here with Rough Grouse Society, but, you know, apparently we've got some loose chuckers up here, too.
Oh, really?
People have seen them.
Yeah. I've not seen them yet.
Yeah. So I saw one in Chino Marina once. I was like, what the heck was that? So a couple chuckers and the occasional pheasant. I don't know if there's been any loose peacocks.
You know, the chuckers, that's... I think I was in India.
I don't know where they come. I mean, yeah. They got them in the lower 48.
Okay.
You know, some lynx probably got them all. We had a pretty good lynx population a few years back. Wiped out the hares. Probably wiped out the chuckers and the.
Fairbanks, we're gonna take a commercial break here. We're gonna have some Billy Joel and some Fox News, some state news, some weather, and some commercials, and we'll be back.
Yeah. on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Trump hosting the president of Lebanon for a bilateral meeting at the White House today. Mr. President, do you have any concerns about a blockade of ship traffic in the Red Sea by Houthi rebels in Yemen?
We've had no problem with the Houthis. They've had no problem with us for a long period of time, including during this conflict. I think that if there is something like that, we'll just have to take care of business.
The Iranian-backed Houthis announced they would be enforcing a blockade against Saudi Arabia in the Bab al-Mandeb Strait. The U.S. military announcing the deaths of four U.S. service members in Iranian attacks over the weekend. House Democratic Caucus Vice Chair Ted Lieu blames Republicans.
They died because Donald Trump and his rubber-stamp Republicans entered a war of choice with no strategy, a lack of defensive munitions, and a lack of planning.
America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTUU reports Anchorage police are investigating a shooting that left one person injured in the Turnagain neighborhood Monday morning. According to the Anchorage Police Department, officers responded to a shooting around 2:14 a.m. at the 3000 block of West 33rd Avenue. Upon arrival, officers located several shell casings. A person with a gunshot wound later arrived independently at a local hospital, and police determined it is connected to the same shooting. Being that close to unexpected gunshots, it gets really, really eye-opening, one neighbor, Stephanie Hawkins, told Alaska's news source. Police are asking that anyone with information regarding this incident, including surveillance footage of the area, to contact police dispatch at 311. And finally, a small landslide in the Nilchik has closed a section of the road near the town's beach, according to the Alaska Department of Transportation. DOT received a report about the landslide around 11:30 a.m. Sunday. It said the debris is covering a small part of the beach access road, and the road is closed until further notice. DOT will provide updates at 511.alaska.gov.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Of all the creatures on God's green earth, humans are the funniest. Some say the government revealed aliens are real. Imagine that, because you recall I, your septic tank, told you first. Likely you'll never contact an alien, but if you don't pump out your septic tank, I'll contact you. You may rather meet an alien. Have Bigfoot Pumpin' and Thon pump me out just once a year. I'll serve you much better.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Jen Uhas. How you doing?
Good morning.
APOC reports were filed yesterday, some interesting reports.
What'd you see? I didn't have time to go look.
Tom Baker just has two donors.
That's it?
Well, 65% of his revenue came from two people. Robin Brenna gave $275,000.
Didn't he used to support Bill Walker?
Yes, he did.
So did he give anything to Bill also?
I do not think so.
Interesting.
Yeah. JKT, what's that?
Jonathan Kreese Tompkins.
Yeah. He got 80% of his money from AI people out of state.
We got a ton of money, and he hasn't been expending it. So, you know, is he saving it for the general? I mean, what if he doesn't make it into
now,
the general?
Now, here's the thing about it. You know, I've seen his commercials. And he finally calls himself what he is. He was always down in Juneau as an independent. No, he says Democrat now on his advertising. So he's finally classifying what he's always been.
And his running mate's an independent.
I have no idea about his running mate.
Yeah, Zach on the assembly down in Anchorage.
Okay. I don't know him, so. Yeah. Let's see. Click Bishop, he got some good funding. They're all spending it to be the, you know, basically the final four.
I mean, let's face it, if you don't get into the, if all those folks that are keeping their powder dry, I mean, more money will come in after you make it into the final four, but you got to get there first.
Exactly right. Yeah, I only saw a few of them and have not seen what, Bernadette Wilson has. Have not seen that one. Have not seen Adam Crum or Treg Taylor, you know, those, or Dave Bronson, you know, so. Again, I want to see those. And
yeah, Bronson Church, local boy.
Yeah, and I want to see how Shelley Hughes, you know, if she's even relevant now. And what is Walker doing? Is he influencing the Bishop campaign? is, you know.
Well, and there's just, for a data geek, I wish there was more data out there because I'd want to see who's pulling votes from whom. You know, people can speculate, oh, Bill Walker's pulling votes from this person or that person. But is he really? You can't really tell without a data-driven poll.
Yeah. It's, but there's only 17 of them running. Come on. But
soon there will be four.
Are you available to make a final four guess?
Nope. Nope. You've been trying all cycles.
I know.
I've been evading it.
You're very good at that.
I've had tactical evasion on that question.
In a polite professional context.
As much as
good.
I can muster.
Mustard sauce for the grouse.
That is another one that would be good. Yeah.
Huh. Mustard cream sauce with pine nuts.
Love the pine nuts.
Yeah.
Love the butternut squash.
Yeah.
Done some ground grouse before with like a Thanksgiving-ish, sage-ish seasoning.
Mm-hmm.
And then put that over top of the butternut squash with, you know, a light cream sauce. Might want to try a mustard one. But you know, I have used the pine nuts there. And then I've done a smoked whipped cream. So made the
smoked whipped cream. So you're doing a cold smoke at 160, 165 degrees into the
cream. I wish
I
was that fancy. I have, instead of, not the liquid smoke, but you can get powdered smoke.
Oh.
And so I have put that in an EC whipper. So I've put the powdered smoke in there with the heavy cream. And then instead of like sour cream or something on your dish, so I've done the butternut squash with the ground grouse with kind of a sage flavor to it. And then pine nuts. And the smoked whipped cream kind of as a garnish on there.
That has minimal acceptable standards, I would think.
Is it great on a cloudy fall day?
Where's your favorite hunting area for grouse around Fairbanks? Where do you like to go?
The old logging roads.
Yeah.
Yeah. The old logging roads south of town. There's, you know, they're easy to access. You know, depending on the day, you know, you see more people or less people out there. They're not heavily traveled, though. And, you know, you get a few and you go home and let the dog, you know, do his job. And
he feels happy. It's his season.
Yeah. He does want to see the chain of custody on his birds, though. Yeah. And, you know, my hunting partner didn't believe me the first time because the dog was getting mad at him. And, you know, we'd gone out and got one. We'd gone out and got a couple. And I've had them in my lap. Like, that's your birdie. Yep, that's your birdie. He was a check on it the whole way home. Well, about our fifth time we'd gone out, he was putting them in the back of the truck. And so we got to, like, our third set of grouse. And Axe wouldn't bring it back. And he was whining, digging a hole. He was going to bury it and go get the other one because we'd gotten two. He's like, what are you doing? And he wouldn't give it to my hunting partner. He'd only give it to me. I said, he needs to see it. You need to show him where they are. Here's your birdies. They're right here. We're taking them home.
Yeah.
And you know, people who know dogs know that sometimes that's a thing.
They're possessive.
Well, it's like, where did it go? I brought it to you. Did you throw it away? What'd you do with it? Like, are we taking it home? That's mine. And so he really wants to see. And so, you know, I'll usually have one. You know, got a bag that I put them in. So now on the ride home, it's like, yep, your birdies are right here. They're X's birdies.
We still have there's no detente between the Republicans and the Democrats on the gas line. One believes it should be a tax bill. One believes it should be a gas line bill. It's very apparent. How does a detente occur where this make it a gas line bill? Or can they even do that?
I don't know. I think some of them are just pushing it till January, hoping there will be a different legislature and they can get what they want. It's like if they wait it, you know, now it's almost August. So, you know, they'll know by November whether they have the makeup that they want and who's going to be majority, minority, how many seats will overturn from one party to another. You know, that part of things, I think, is a stalemate. It's like they just want to call the game and then wait till there's new bodies and see what designation everybody is, and then it'll go one way or the other.
So let's project here if Tom Brice, excuse me, not Tom Brice, Tom Begich.
Tom Brice is a great guy.
Yeah, if Begich is the governor, it becomes a taxation bill. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if he's governor, that's one thing. But it depends on, like, do we get, does everything flip? Do we go to a Democrat governor?
If it stays in the legislature right now, let's just look at the governor. Uh-huh. It becomes a taxation bill because he'll sign a taxation bill. The questionable one for me is, what would Click Bishop do?
You'll have to have him on the air and ask him.
Yeah. Will it be a taxation bill?
But then,
or will it be a gas
for the radio
bill?
Rules, do you have to have all 17 of them on if you have Click on?
That's why I'm having none of them on.
Okay.
That's, if he makes the final four, they're all four on. I'm not having any candidates on until after the primary.
Right. So if someone's out there running for governor and everyone is curious about this, then they should go ahead and put their own statements out online so people will know.
Ready for a phone call?
Is it Al?
I don't know.
Is it Randy Griffin?
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
It's Randy Griffin. You called it, Jen. Yes. Randy, what you up to?
I was just curious about the turkey hunting down in Palmer. Are those turkeys supplemented during the winter with feed that somebody's feeding them?
Nope. Or is,
they're just wild. Do they kind of stay in a certain area, or do they roam forever?
So there's some info online. You can Google down there, but apparently they escaped something. Nobody feeds them. They are now considered feral, just like So it's
like a feral hog.
Yeah, like a feral hog. So
feral cat.
Exactly. Wild would be something wild, like a moose or a lynx. Since these were domesticated and now they are out in the wild, they're referred to as feral. They're nobodies, and nobody's keeping them around, and they aren't supplemented. Nobody put them out there for stock the way the conservation groups do, like Rough Grouse Society. They just somehow escaped and figured out how to survive. So they're just running around there. But since they are not an actual, now they would be a harvestable species. That they aren't wild game. But on the books in the reg book for fish and game, it'll show them in the back as a.
When does the season open up on them?
It's open all the time.
Wow!
Okay. With no bag limit.
Okay.
Because they're.
What
do you call it?
Supplemental.
No. Non-indigenous deleterious species like the Norway rats out on the Aleutian.
What do you think, Randy?
I was wondering if a person goes down to hunt them in the Palmer area, do they go to a certain area? Are they on somebody else's private land or out?
They might be on some private land, but they are out on public land, and you can call some of the folks down there and ask exactly which mountain. I'm not going to tell you where I'm going.
Can they get airborne?
I don't know. I've never hunted a turkey.
I understand they're very wily. They're very hard to get.
Yeah.
Okay. Wiley is a coyote.
But I've seen them running through the woods when I've gone whitetail hunting in West Virginia and Pennsylvania. And, they're kind of neat. They form like a little bobsled train. All the hens go ch-ch-ch-ch, run through the woods. But I've never hunted them.
It's interesting that you're going to go do that. I've never heard of anyone turkey hunting in Alaska until right now and right here. And you've heard it too, Randy.
Yeah.
So I'll report back after my friend from Kentucky comes up after we go get some.
When are you going?
We haven't.
So you're bringing in a real turkey hunter?
Yeah. Well,
head of the Wild Turkey Federation.
Somebody's got to bring some turkey calls. I don't know how to do it. I've never hunted one. And I don't know how wily these ones are. I was just reading an article about the, you heard about these super pigs in Canada?
No.
Okay. They're feral pigs, just like they've got, down in the states, like Oklahoma and stuff, but they're super pigs. They're building these dens to stay warm in the winter. They've grown, they got loose and they're feral, but they're even recommending not trying to hunt them because when they have, they've gotten smarter. And so they're doing a lot of habitat destruction, just the same way they do in Oklahoma and Texas and stuff, and Georgia, these feral pigs, but they're calling them super pigs. Go read that one online. They're coming across and causing problems in Michigan, Great Lakes areas. But these Arctic winter feral pigs are like even worse than the lower 48 ones because they've gotten super smart. They're building these little they're calling it a pigloo.
A pig.
I'm not joking. First we had jog with a hog, now we got pig lose.
Only on Problem Corner. Fairbanks will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. Attention business owners, event coordinators, and sports leagues. 97.5 KFAR Radio has the perfect tool to help you get the word out. It's our weekly 50-50 Friday offer from Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station, and KFAR. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on our website, kfarradio.com, we feature a different half-price offer from a local business where we promote your business on eight of the top radio stations in Fairbanks for an entire week, every hour, every day. Plus, 100 ads that run the following week. It's 50-50 Friday. And when we don't have a current offer, log on to kfarradio.com anyway to see what deals may still be available from previous weeks. When it comes to marketing your business, nothing works like local radio. And nothing on local radio works better than 50-50 Friday. From 97.5 FM KFAR Radio and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station.
It's Derby season, which means it's time to head to Valdez and Fish. Listen to KFAR Radio Monday through Saturday at 6:20, 7:20, or 11:15 for the Valdez Fishing Report. You'll get updates on the current standings, along with the latest tips, hot spots, and techniques, and the stories from the anglers in Valdez. The Valdez Fishing Report, proudly brought to you by Century Hardware. Don't miss the Valdez Fishing Report three times a day, Monday through Saturday, on News Talk for the Interior, KFAR 97.5 FM and 660. AM.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with a chance for scattered rain showers. Highs level off around 70. Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast skies tonight. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 49. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Jen Uhas in the studio with me here. How you doing?
Dandy.
So, trying to get you into the hunting season mode.
Well, don't forget foraging. We're not done foraging yet.
We're trying to get you through the turkey shoot.
Yeah.
And then you go into your...
Then caribou.
Caribou, but your grouse and your foraging. Let's go into foraging.
Yeah, so we
Your berries, you're coming into your berry season here soon.
We are soon, but there's still mushrooms out there. And, yeah. You know, these rains that we've been getting.
Mm-hmm. Great for it.
Yeah.
What area do you like to go to for morels?
We like to go out in a plane and go land on a lake somewhere.
Right? Oh,
but close
spot.
To town, I guess a lot of people. I mean, not everybody can go there, so you know, some of the folks with cabins have that opportunity. But a lot of people have been going up the Steese and the Elliott.
Mm-hmm. Anything out on the Chattanooga?
I don't know. Maybe somebody will call in, but you know, see, there's a few little Facebook groups where people are doing that kind of thing, and. So you see that every once in a while, but I have heard reports of people getting them right up the highway here. You know, just go look at the old burn maps and see, exactly. You know, Alchina Hot Springs. Mm-hmm. Remember though, to leave one in 10, don't clear cut your morel patch and then it'll produce for about 3 years for you.
Yeah, it grows back.
Yeah. If you take them all,
it's gone.
Then you get 1 year of harvest, but if you leave one in 10, you can use that same patch for about 3 years.
Caribou, what are you thinking?
Boy, gotta go see where they are when you want to go. I like to go when it's a little colder. I don't like being really hot and buggy out there.
So you like mid-September?
I do, yeah.
Where have you been in the past?
In the past? Up to the Brooks, 40 miles.
You know, the Brooks is the size of California.
Mm-hmm.
So where in the Brooks?
Up in the Brooks. Yeah, it's harder to get to, but there's... You know, they're pretty abundant up there. One time we were up there sheep hunting and we just got weathered in on this dome, and you know, all we wanted was for the weather to break and leave, and we didn't see any sheep. You can only see, you know, about 20 yards in each direction. You know, all we did was, you know, wake up, check the tie downs, but they just kept walking right through camp, kind of like, oh, hi, you come in with us? We're like, no, and we don't even want to shoot one of you guys because if the weather breaks, we want to leave. But
yeah.
they're everywhere. Just, oh, hi, you come in with us?
Very curious animals. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Simple as that. Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, good morning, guys. It's Kaya.
Hello, Kaya.
I just wanted to say that over the past week, I did the three major drives. We went out to Central past Eagle Summit, and then the following day, we went to Manly Hot Springs, and then the following day, we just got back from Denali Park. And
fun.
I'll tell you, I felt like I was on another planet. It was amazing. I haven't done it in a long time.
How was the Manly trip?
Every trip was picture perfect. 72 degrees, cloudy, but sun coming through, no rain. We ate at the Roadhouse. It was one of the best meals I've ever had.
Ooh.
Everything was homemade.
What did you have? And
I had the boring cheeseburger, because I'm a cheeseburger freak.
You and half of America.
Cheeseburger in paradise.
Yeah, and it was excellent. It wasn't the kind of cheeseburger that I have in my memory from days gone by that I've had, but it was amazing. And we saw a total of, obviously, we saw two squirrels.
he didn't steal your cheeseburger, did he?
No. And a handful of robins, a cross fox that was on Murphy, that was on Manly Hot Springs. We didn't see anything going to Circle, or to Central, I'm sorry.
Okay.
But we did see a lynx cross the highway. I actually got it on my camera when we were in Denali Park. So that was quite interesting. But, wow.
Appreciate it. Got another phone call coming in, Kaya. Okay. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
My name's Alan.
Alan, not Al. Not Alan. It's Al, not Alan, or Alan. It's not Al.
Either way.
You go either way?
You piqued my curiosity about the turkeys, and so I had to go look that up and refresh.
So he's not available until he goes and looks it up.
So yeah. He becomes an expert.
The interesting part about that is the handy-dandy, for whatever it's worth, and it's not in the codified as it was written in the handy-dandy, but it says... Federal non-native game birds, chuckers, partridge, pheasant, quail, and wild turkey have no closed season. So my assumption was the turkeys that were down in that area were turkeys that were released from a domestic stock and not wild turkeys.
Yeah, exactly.
So they can't be wild turkeys to hunt unless they're wild. You know, why doesn't it say wild quail, wild pheasants, wild partridge, or wild chuckers?
You'll have to. Why doesn't it, Al? You're on the Board of Game, and you can tell the department how you want that changed.
Yeah. That's you can do that without going through. You can do that with administrative versus.
Because it's in the handy dandy right there.
That's an interesting concept, because at least two times the board has passed. A regulation, and when it comes out in written form in the codified, it's not exactly what the board had passed.
I mean, that's a 40-year-old problem that I'm aware of. But yeah, that's on page 142.
So they take your thoughts and create what they want.
Well, that's not really what's supposed to happen, but occasionally it does.
But you know, it's also
they use the opportunity for their
but. You know, in defense of the people who are writing things, right? You have publication texts, and you have people who are, you know, tasked with putting things into something like a product, like the handy dandy, who may or may not have even been one of the staff there. They're receiving notes from someone, and they're doing their best, and so sometimes.
Oh yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, it's not malicious.
It's just things that do that, but you know, it's just odd when somebody reads that and says, "Well, you can hunt wild turkeys." But actually, you're just hunting feral turkeys.
Right.
Al, how's the chitna going?
That's why I can't call in. I've been elbow deep.
But you can text, so your thumbs aren't part. You're up to your elbows, but not your thumbs.
Yeah, but I got to stop working and texting. I just shoot a message and go back to work.
So it's your season, in other words.
Yeah, no, it's going pretty good. It's a little slow this year as far as fish coming into the plant. And as far as fish coming in the river, but the numbers are coming back up. And in all actuality, at least in the first part of the season, the fish were incredibly extra large this year. I was super impressed on the size of the reds this year.
Were they averaging about 7.5 pounds?
Yeah, that's really big.
Wow.
Yeah, that's more like a hatchery.
Yeah.
Of copper river red.
Wow.
Little footballs.
Yeah. So, and that was another thing. You know, there's a distinction between Kenai reds and copper river reds. Kenai reds are a much shorter and fatter fish, and a copper river is kind of a narrow, lengthier fish. And I've seen quite a few short, fat fish that I would have called them. They came out of the Kenai, so that was interesting observation on my part.
Some crossbreeding?
I have no idea.
I mean, the breeding is going to happen in the river.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
You know, there is, you know, the concept of strays, but, you know, usually it's they're straying somewhere closer.
Well, my thought is they're using different eggs and sperm for their fish hatcheries. Well, who knows?
Are they all mature coming back? Are you seeing a lot of jacks?
No, I've seen a lot of jacks early on in the king season. I just did some today, though, there was at least four or five in a guy's order that were, you know, jack, red, sockeye.
How's the king return on the Kenai looking?
Poor.
And when was the last time you were ever able to catch a king on the Kenai?
Several years now. Well, you can catch them, but you got to let them go.
Sad.
Whenever I can't explain something, I blame it on global change.
How about the return of the reds on the Kenai?
It's picking up. They have seasons, but they're kind of below average for an annual this time of the year.
Have the silver started coming in anywhere yet?
I don't pay attention to silver. People shouldn't eat silvers.
Why?
I don't think they taste very good.
But you put hot sauce on everything.
Yeah. Ketchup, too. You want something to taste good, put ketchup on it.
You wouldn't make pokey out of a silver?
So are you a ketchup or
I don't play with silvers. I don't partake in shooting spruce hens after the end of September. So, yeah, I don't even mess with them.
You're an opinionated person, aren't you there, Al?
Who, Al Barrett?
Yeah.
Dave Bruce was my mentor.
You learn from the best.
So you're getting ready for the Board of Game meeting starting tomorrow.
Yeah.
How's that looking?
It's looking like it's going to happen.
That's saying nothing without saying a lot.
So can you explain, for folks who are listening, it's going to take place over at Pike's for the next 3 days. There's public.
No, it's going to be at the Westmark.
Okay.
And there's four proposals that the commissioner and the department had put on there. Two of them relate to archery equipment and dealing with clarifiers, verifiers, and scopes. And then there's one proposal to authorize the culling of brown bears in the muskox calving area in Unit 26 on the North Slope.
Okay, we got to wrap up, Al. We got to wrap up.
The last one's important.
And the last one's dealing with the Ambler Road and having a 2-mile corridor, a mile on each side.
What's the corridor for?
To restrict hunting, fishing, and trapping.
Okay. Fairbanks, that's our show for today. Al, thank you very much for calling in. Jen, thank you very much for showing up into the purple padded room. Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow. Everyone have a good day.